They're down and seven. This one is launched from McLaurin. He's got it. Touchdown. Touchdown, Terry McLaurin.
And last year, everybody was talking about how they were going to probably end up with the first pick and jettison Justin, which they did for a sixth-round draft pick, by the way. And now he's undefeated as the signal caller for the Steelers.
This is unbelievable. And yes, I know that word is used too often, especially by me, but this is unbelievable. We're three games into the season, and they're three games up on the Bengals. How is this possible? The Bengals, I looked at the Bengals' early season schedule. They had Washington and New England at home. They're 0-3. I had them winning the division. In a related note, I had the worst NFL predictions in the country and maybe of all time. I'll get to those in a moment. Maybe of all time. I can't believe what has transpired here, City Limits, and it's wonderful to see you again. I'm still reveling in our pizza run yesterday, but that's beside the point. I was asked in a mailbag this morning about the Steelers, possibly how crazy everybody is for thinking they could run away with the AFC North. What's so crazy? I'm aware there's 14 games left. I'm aware they don't start divisional play for like another 8 months. And I'm aware that injuries always tilt the balance of power in the NFL. They change seasons at the drop of a hat, right? I mean, it's everything changes with injuries. I get it. But how can you at least not have those thoughts cross your mind? I had the Bengals winning this division. So did you, correct?
That's correct.
So did a lot of the country. Nobody had the Steelers winning the division. Nobody. May I read to you from The Athletic this morning? Because this is, to me, this is the most stunning development in the league, is the Bengals being 0-3. It's the most stunning development in the NFL. I'm just making sure of that. I mean, Seattle being 3-0 is surprising, but especially given the schedule. The Bengals sitting here at 0-3. Listen to this from The Athletic this morning. Boos rained down on the Bengals during Monday's 38-33 loss to the Washington Commanders. And the Bengals' defense turned in, and I quote here, the worst performance in team history, failing to make a single stop and allowing five touchdowns and a field goal on six possessions, two others ending in Washington taking a knee. Oh my God. They didn't make a single stop, Limits.
It was the first game since 1940 where there wasn't a turnover or a punt in a game.
Ron was covering the league back then.
That's right.
But we won't get into
that
right now.
He was already 20 years into the business.
Maybe the Bengals could use Red Grange. Look at this. Drives, the Bengals allowed 6.3 points per drive against Washington. If you want to go a little bit into the analytics, and I'm taking you there, because the previous record was 5.6 in Week 10 against New Orleans in 2018. Well, guess what happened right after the game in Week 10 of 2018? Marvin Lewis fired defensive coordinator Terrell Austin after the game. He fired him after the game. This was worse. What has become of the Bengals? In the Super Bowl era, six teams since 1966, six of them have overcome an 0-3 start to reach the playoffs. The Bengals need to go 10-4 the rest of the way to reach the playoffs, I would think, unless nine gets you in. Maybe in this AFC it does. But 10-4 the rest of the way? What a development that is. Then you have the Browns that we all had pegged for bad things this year anyway, but not everybody. You know, some people overrated this team last year where they've somehow swept all the awards in sight, even though they didn't have a great year, I didn't think. And then it ended with that embarrassing debacle in the playoffs. They stink. Myles Garrett is hurt now. They got injuries up and down their team. They have the Deshaun Watson dilemma, which is a light word for that. That's just ruining the franchise right now. They're done. The Browns are not to be taken seriously. The Bengals, while I still think that offense can cook a little bit, history tells me they're done. The Steelers are three games up on the Bengals, three games into the season.
So should we print the t-shirts now, Joe? Is that what you're saying?
No. No, no, no. But thoughts of the Steelers running away with this division. How can you not think it? They're multiple games up right now. They're playing historically great defense through three games. And look at their schedule. They face maybe the worst quarterback in the league on Sunday. Then they have the soft old Cowboys coming in who get physically dominated on defense every week, it seems, coming in for a night game on October 6th. Then they got the Raiders, whose best player, Max Crosby, has a high ankle sprain. And then we got a showdown against the Jets, because I think the Jets are going to be good. They have a very good defense, and Aaron Rodgers is starting to look like Aaron Rodgers again. That team is a threat. And then the Giants come here, and this ain't Cleveland. They're going to break apart the Giants. So let me suggest this to you. Oh, wonder twin. The Steelers at 3-0, let's give them a loss to the Jets. Let's give them two losses. Why don't we?
Against?
Even though I don't think that's going to happen in their first eight games. Let's say they're 6-2. I think they're going to be 7-1. Let's say they're 6-2 going into the bye week. All they have to do in the remaining nine games, and we know what a gauntlet that is, although it's less so now that Cleveland has fallen apart, and who knows what becomes of the Bengals. All they would have to do then is go 5-4 the rest of the way, and they got 11 wins. 11.
That gets you in.
And I think that's very conservative at this point. And I know injuries. I know people are going to point to injuries. Believe me, I know. TJ Watt goes down, even with Herbig, and even with maybe better depth, although Highsmith is already hurt, right? TJ Watt goes down, then everything changes. Period. That's just a fact. Other injuries could play very important roles in what happens the rest of the year. I get it. So let's just talk in the context of you're not going to have catastrophic season-ending injuries to your best players. What if they go 7-1? Then all they have to do is go 4-5 the rest of the way. 4-5. They got Washington, and then they have basically the whole division plus Philly and Kansas City. It's a tough schedule. There's no doubt about that. But all they have to do here, I think, is go 6-2, and I think they're going to go 7-1 with a chance at 8-0.
I think they're going to be 7-1 as well. I mean, the one game that I circle right now that I'm very fascinated in, other than the Jets, is Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, Jaden Daniels.
Oh, is he good?
He looked very, very impressive.
Their offense is definitely something
sophisticated
to be contended with. Yes.
I think they posted not a college offense. I guess they were getting a lot of flack from Cincinnati for basically being a college offense trying to operate in the NFL. Cliff Kingsbury's their OC, is that correct?
I love that
guy. How about that?
Yeah, he was fired up. Yes, they seem to be having fun. Dan Quinn and Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels, they're a fun team to watch.
Well, let me play devil's advocate for the Bengals, though.
Yeah.
They have the Giants. They have the awful Raiders. They get Philadelphia at home, which I think could significantly help them.
Hold on. That's not playing devil's advocate. They've lost at home to New England and Washington.
And they've historically started off very slow over the last couple of years. What, 1-7 over the last 3 years coming into this year?
Yeah, and that's killing them. They didn't make the playoffs last year.
So when Cincinnati at the end of the year is playing the Chargers, we'll see what happens to them, but they're playing them on the road and it's never a home game for them. Chargers don't have home games.
Yeah.
Dallas in a primetime game. That could be fascinating. Joe Burrow heating up at the end of the year. And then how about this for a final four games? Awful Tennessee, which is it Will Levis or Mason Rudolph?
They more awful than New England? Okay.
Then the Browns at home in a primetime game.
Yep.
Then they host Denver.
Yep. They going to stop Bo Nix?
I think so.
Because they just had a game in which they allowed the other team to score on every possession.
How about how Bo Nix, I saw a story this morning, the Steelers corners were laughing at the Denver offense. They were laughing at
Where'd
the offense because
that?
They wouldn't take any shots.
Where'd you see that?
Scrolling through Instagram this morning. I think it was Sports Illustrated. Let me see if I can find it.
I mean,
laughing at the offense that Denver was running because they had no interest in moving the ball down the field and taking shots.
I know, but Tampa Bay's not laughing at them, which I guess is proof that things can change. Listen, the bottom line here is they're three games up on the Bengals, three games into the season. Developments of the early season are just absolutely flooring me here in the AFC. Look around the AFC right now. I think I can pick the playoff teams, City Limits. You ready?
I'm ready.
Buffalo and the Jets. You agree with that?
I agree with Buffalo. I'm still not sold on the Jets.
Man.
But with the West of the
what
way.
What did you see from Aaron Rodgers in the last game?
I'm just going off the fact that the Jets always find a way to fall flat on their face.
Well, they do, but they haven't had a quarterback like this in, well, maybe since Joe Namath, to be honest
the
with
Jets
you.
Are on the border for me of making the playoffs right now. But as we go further and further through the AFC, I mean, we're kind of realizing how many good teams are there.
The Dolphins aren't. They're falling apart. This is
going to
be a disaster. The Patriots are horrible.
But I thought they weren't too bad. They beat Cincinnati.
When did I say they weren't too bad?
Well, you said they beat Cincinnati, and we were going through the list of teams that Cincinnati could easily beat.
Because you were going through the teams
that
Cincinnati could easily beat. And my point was the Patriots beat them, and the Patriots stink. So they could lose to anybody. That was my point, Limits. You're moving the goalposts on me. We're 17 minutes into the show. Steelers and Ravens are playoff teams. I'm not saying the Bengals can't turn this around. They could. Joe Burrow is a great player. They could turn it around. But I don't think to the tune of winning the division. Like I said, they got to go 10-4 just to get to 10 wins. It's just at some point the math doesn't work for you. I think Houston will be the only team in the AFC South. Do you agree with that?
I do. How wrong I was on Jacksonville. And did you pick them to win the division too?
Yes, I did. They're an embarrassment.
That's a disaster.
Oh, my God. By the way, Josh Allen's the best player in football. Sorry.
Yes, the one year that I don't bet him to win MVP.
He's
That's
the
like
most,
the only bet I make.
He's the most entertaining player, and he's the best player. How's that for a hot take? And I know Patrick Mahomes is out there. I know.
He's
I
more
know
entertaining he's than Mahomes.
He's more accomplished. For sure.
Mahomes and the Chiefs have gotten bailed out, by the way, this season so far. They
Josh
could
Allen
be 1-2.
Who?
Kansas City.
Yeah. Josh Allen doesn't even have a number one receiver, for God's sakes. And then in the AFC West, I have the Chiefs, obviously. I have the Chargers as the next best team, but they're suddenly riddled with injuries, including a high ankle sprain to their quarterback. So that last spot's going to be up for grabs. But I think it has become very predictable here. There's always one miserable team that turns it around. Let's say that's the Bengals. And there's always one good team that falls flat on its face later in the season. I'm really not seeing that. Most of the teams have losing records. The Chiefs, Steelers, and Bills. Would the Bills be a candidate for that? With that quarterback, I don't think so. So I think this has become quite predictable in the AFC. You?
Jacksonville, they have a slow heartbeat right now that's coming to a just utter collapse.
He needs to be fired. Doug Peterson needs to be fired.
I just cannot believe how much of a beatdown that was. Buffalo's going to run away with that division. Maybe not run away, but they're going to win it. I agree with you in the West. It looks like the Chargers right now. And that's the team that I wanted to put in.
The Chargers as a wild card.
As a wild card, yeah. Yes. Not beating Kansas City in the division. It's a team that I wanted to put in because Harbaugh always finds a way to win in his first couple of years. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. But I believed in Jacksonville and then Houston to be the wild card team. So, wrong there. I think you're right.
Jacksonville is a mess. Trevor Lawrence is one of the most disappointing players that I can remember. Because he teased us. Some guys just come in and they're busts from day one. You know, they stink. This guy came in, had a horrible first year under Urban Meyer, then had a very good second season. 25 touchdowns, 8 picks, and a historic comeback in the playoffs. And since then, he has 23 total touchdowns and 15 interceptions, and his team stinks. What happened to this guy? What happened to that coach? What happened to this team? They're horrible.
And the Jaguars, remember when they played the Steelers and one of their players was waving the terrible towel all around?
Maybe it's that. Maybe it's that.
You remember that?
Yeah. Maybe that's still
you want to know how many
them.
Games the Jaguars have won since then?
Yes, I do.
One. They've won one game.
Wait, when was that?
October 29th of 2023. They've won one game since. They thumped the Titans 34-14 on November 19th. Since October 29th, Jacksonville has completely fallen apart. They've won one game. They've lost to the Texans, the Bengals, the Browns.
No, you're wrong about that, but I get your point. That was October 29th they beat the Steelers last year, right?
Yeah, or am I wrong about it?
And then they desecrated the terrible towel, yes?
Yes.
They've beaten Tennessee, they've beaten Houston and Carolina since then. I'm sorry to say. But your point is well taken. You should see City Limit's face.
No, they did beat Houston.
Their record since then is something like 3-10. So your point is well taken.
They won three.
Your facts are just slightly off. Forget them. They were one of my horrible picks. Point being, topic being, are the Steelers bound to come back to earth the way it's designed in the NFL? Or is this going to keep up? Like, tell me, if you don't think it's going to keep up, why? Why? I had a guy ask me in my intergalactically red mailbag today. He said, you and everybody else should pump the brakes here. If this season falls apart, it's going to be because of the offense. He's not sold on the offense. I'm not completely sold on this offense. Don't get me wrong. Or on Justin Fields for that matter. But how can you not love what you saw on Sunday? How can you not view that as a giant step forward? He was great. They were great. As far as I'm concerned, that was a 27-point output they had. They chose not to score at the end. That was a really, really good offensive performance, and he's been incredibly impressive to me so far. And this defense, I don't see a reason outside of injury why this defense won't continue to dominate. Do you? I don't see a weakness on the defense. I don't.
No, the only weakness that I could see in the defense is maybe in the secondary, but Dante Jackson's played very well, and Deshaun Elliott surprised me.
Listen, you might be right, but I think that would only manifest itself against a high-powered passing offense. Could it be Dallas in a couple weeks? I don't know. I just don't see a whole lot of those on the schedule, to be real honest with you. Limits, certainly not coming this week in the form of Anthony Richardson. It ain't coming against Vegas. It's not coming against the Giants. You know, the two threats for that, you're going to face Aaron Rodgers, presumably, on October 20th. And he looks like he's rounding into prime form. And you're going to face Dallas. And they for whatever they don't have, they do have a pretty high-powered offense when they're clicking. And after that, you know, you're going to see Burrow. You're going to see Lamar. You're going to see Washington, which might have a pretty good offense. So there will be some along the way. But, man, the Steelers are stacking wins in the meantime. And I can't help but wonder if they're going to run away with this division. Am I crazy? I don't consider myself any sort of iconic prognosticator. I do make some good predictions once in a while. But I also make some bad ones. And I think I've made the worst NFL predictions for this season, maybe in the history of this town and maybe in the history of the United States of America. I went back and looked at this, and it's absolutely horrifying. Now, I did have the Steelers. What did you have the Steelers at going in?
I had 10-7 and making a wild card spot.
And you're changing that to what?
11-6. And still, I'm not going to say they're going to win the division at this point, but I think needle is a lot closer with Baltimore.
You're not saying they're, but you said Cincinnati.
I said Cincinnati.
So you've changed from Cincinnati, but not to Pittsburgh?
I'm changing right now to Baltimore.
Well, what have you seen that makes you think Baltimore, not the Steelers, should take over for Cincinnati? You've gone nuts.
Yeah. I like Baltimore's end of year schedule more so than I like the Steelers' end of year schedule too. And even though I still think Lamar and the Ravens against the Steelers are not a superior team, so it might make a lot of sense that you're saying, I mean, that makes no sense what Austin's saying. Why would he possibly think that the Ravens are going to win the division?
No. I get why someone would pick the Ravens, but if I had originally picked the Bengals, which I did too, and I was going to take them out and put somebody in, I would take the team that's three games ahead of them and two games ahead of the Ravens. Like, what have you seen from the Ravens that makes you say, oh, suddenly I'm going to pick them over the Bengals?
Well, it's the historical factor of what Baltimore has typically done.
Well, why didn't you pick them in the first place?
So I thought Cincinnati was better than them. But 0-3 is so hard to come back from.
All right. Well, your predictions weren't nearly as bad as mine.
They were close.
Listen to this. Listen to this from the beginning of the year. This is horrifying. It's almost impressive what I've done here. Steelers record 10-7. This is at the Post-Gazette. You can see all the PG writers' predictions. Steelers MVP for the season, Russell Wilson.
Great start, Joe. At least I didn't say that.
Steelers Rookie of the Year, Zach Frazier. That was a good pick.
Yeah, that's a good
pick.
Wasn't
it? Boy, is he good.
Look, how about my pick? Roman Wilson. That's gone over
that
well.
You still could get some traction.
I think
that.
So.
Who knows?
But a healthy scratch last week.
It's amazing what you can see. I went through the game. I woke up at 4:30 today. I often wake up having to pee and couldn't get back to sleep. So I said, I'm going to go back through the Steelers game again and just watch Zach Frazier. And in the second half, that dude was like plowing people into the ground, taking guys 10 yards downfield. Blocking one guy, shedding him, and getting to the second level, as they say. He's unbelievable. You ready for these predictions, Limits? AFC North champion, Bengals.
That's what I had.
AFC South champion, Jaguars. Did you have that?
Yes, I did.
Do we share our shame?
Yes, we do. I just cannot believe how bad Trevor Lawrence is playing. And it's more so the offense around him, too. Doug Peterson, goodbye. Like, you can't bring him back after this season. You might not be able to bring him back after week 10.
You might not be able to bring him back for practice today. I mean, seriously, that's the type of game that gets somebody fired three games in. 40-10? What was the score? 40-10?
I think it was 37-10. Regardless. Beat down.
And then I had the Jets and Chiefs, which I'm okay with. The wild cards, Steelers, Ravens, and Texans. You know, I should get most of the playoff teams right. My NFL MVP, Jordan Love. My coach of the year, Zach Taylor.
Nice.
What was I doing? What was I thinking?
I at least picked D'Amico Ryans. He's looking okay right now.
My offensive player of the year, Christian McCaffrey. My rookie of the year, Caleb Williams. This is the worst collection of predictions any person has ever made on any sport at any point in this country's history.
Well, you could have had the Browns winning the North.
That would actually be preferable to the Bengals right now. They're a game ahead of the Bengals. Anyways, I'm deeply ashamed of that. Are we getting ahead of ourselves with the Steelers? Let's go to the lines. 412-928-9370, the final Derek Shelton show at the top of the hour. You want to text in something, a legitimate question. I'm not asking this on X anymore. Because the questions that come in are ridiculous and couldn't be asked, and it's just a fusillade of stupid insults and questions.
Yes, the text line is ripping me for saying that the Steelers repeatedly beat the Ravens like a rented mule and are two games ahead of them, and think that the Ravens, who are two games behind, are able to come back and win the division. Yeah, okay. Pathetic Limits, the text line said.
Well, you know, I'm not discounting the Ravens from winning the division. I just didn't understand your logic in removing the Bengals from your preseason prediction and inserting the Ravens over the Steelers as the team you now think will win it. The Ravens are a whisker from 0-3 and coming off an epic fourth quarter meltdown against Dallas. Like, I hardly think that they're fixed at this point. I just didn't understand your logic. That's all. But you explained it. Can we go to the lines?
Yes, here's Roger in Apollo.
Hi, Roger.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Good. What's on your mind?
Was just wondering what your take was on Broderick Jones's performance on Sunday. I didn't hear his name a lot, which is always a good thing, but I just wanted to hear what you had to say.
Yeah, man. He showed a lot of character in bouncing back from one of the worst series, I wouldn't even say games, one of the worst series, and it wasn't even a whole series, had to have been in the history of the Steelers and maybe the history of the NFL for an offensive lineman. I don't remember ever seeing anything like that. A guy gets inserted into a game for the guy in front of him was healthy, like he just was part of a rotation, gets inserted into a game and single-handedly detonates a drive with three penalties. It was a disaster. And he came back and played well, I thought. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be a connoisseur of offensive line play. Let's put it this way, though. We all know when they stink in a game, and he didn't stink. In fact, he must have been pretty good in the second half, because as I watched every play again early this morning, they were pushing people around, and that includes him. Now, Romo identified Broderick Jones early in the game as having missed an assignment that led to a very negative play. But other than that, I'm with you. When they're not talking about you, you're probably doing something right. And on the other side, you had Joe Alt. Did you notice he has a tiny little head?
Yeah, control Alt and delete, TJ Watt said. Goodbye.
Well, no, that's funny you say that, because that was the line they used as the little header for their box on Alt. Control Alt delete against Max Crosby and I forget who, two other good pass rushers that he held without a sack. He couldn't handle TJ Watt. Could not handle him, and it showed late in the game.
And that Bills score was 47-10, by the way.
47. Okay. He was getting help from everybody on various plays, and whenever he went one-on-one, especially in the second half, Watt dominated him. Let's get this straight. TJ Watt's the best defensive player in the league. He's the best edge rusher in the league. He should have won Defensive Player of the Year last year. It was a Lifetime Achievement Award for Myles Garrett. That's what it was. There's nobody like him. Garrett is great. Max Crosby's great. There's others out there. Micah Parsons is sort of in a different category because he's not just strictly an edge rusher. But TJ Watt's the best in the league.
What do you think of my prediction?
They destroyed that kid when he went one-on-one in the second half. Just destroyed him.
He's going to win Defensive Player of the Year and also break the all-time sack record this year. Three sacks through three games. I mean, he's not on the pace to do it, but very well possible.
Next,
here is Patrick in Glassport.
Hello,
hey,
Patrick.
Joe, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I just wanted to real quick about Justin Fields. Do you think with Tomlin, the way he feels about him, and having Russell on the side, on the sideline, is like kind of like a fire up under his ass? Excuse me, under Fields' butt to play better? You think?
Well, not necessarily. I don't think that hurts, but I think if it was just Kyle Williams as the backup, for example, I think you'd probably see the same level of performance from Justin Fields. Like, I'm not sure I buy into those kinds of theories. Bob was suggesting a couple weeks ago that Najee Harris is extra motivated and it has showed in his play in a contract year. Najee Harris has run like a complete maniac for his whole career and continues to do so. Like, how much harder can Najee Harris run than he already did last year and the year before? How much harder? There's nothing left to give. The guy leaves his heart and soul on the field every single week. And I'll tell you this again, limitless wonder. I think that the Steelers should buck tradition, wait to see if Najee is still healthy in about 5 weeks, and sign him to a contract extension, a celebratory contract extension toward the end of the year. They don't sign players other than quarterbacks during seasons. They should do it here for how this guy approaches his job. And if anybody else in the future were ever to say, oh, you made an exception for Najee, what about me? They simply say, you're not Najee.
What if it's Justin Fields?
He's a quarterback, so it wouldn't be an exception. Next.
Here is Bill in Cranberry.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, I'm pretty excited about the Steelers, but I can't get overboard. I've gone through too much. Last year, we thought Kenny Pickett was Johnny Unitas. reincarnated. This year, we thought the Pirates had this knockout starting pitching staff that, except for Paul Skeens, fell apart at the end of the year. Penguins didn't make it last year.
I hear you. I do hear you.
By week.
What's your first name again?
Bill.
Phil?
Bill? B-I-L-L.
Bill, I completely understand. You've been hurt, Bill, and it's tough to come back and love again when you've been hurt. Have you considered perhaps a little bit of therapy?
Unchain my heart. I get it every Sunday when I watch them, and they do good. I was impressed with Phil. He looked so good. His passes were like rockets. They were right on the money.
Yeah.
He stood in the pocket like, you know, a man in charge.
Yeah.
The guys they got this year, like Peyton Wilson and, you know, the new center and stuff. Like, these guys really look like they're ready to go.
It's fun, right?
Rookies.
Maybe we can just enjoy it for what it is right now, Bill, and I appreciate the call. Maybe just enjoy the moment. Enjoy the present. That's why they call it a gift. It's the present. City Limits.
It's and, a gift but that keeps on giving.
Listen, I do understand. I do understand. It's actually true. When you've been damaged like this around here in recent years with false hope and with you know, we've been talking about how these are some of the darkest times in Pittsburgh sports history with all the losing that's gone on and the disappointments and things like that. Maybe, though, just enjoy it and try to put aside, you know, recent hurts, recent horrors, and enjoy the next game. Because you know what? The next game's going to be good, too, I think. I think they're going to destroy the Colts. I do. I think Anthony Richardson is in a lot of trouble here. So maybe if we can just enjoy the moment, I think that would be good. Coming up, the final Derek Shelton show of the season. Lots of things to ask the Pirates manager. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. You can listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Mike Tomlin at noon should be interesting. Oh, the injury. Najee himself was reported to be in a sling yesterday. Did you see that story, Limits?
Yeah, that's definitely one to monitor, especially with Jaylen Warren and the infrequent amount of time that they've used him, especially over the last couple of weeks.
Clearly,
he only had, what, four carries last
game? Clearly he's not right,
no.
Jaylen Warren. There's no question about that. So that would be an issue if Najee is also banged up here. But you'll hear the Steelers coach at noon, and Derek Shelton next as we wrap up this season. What does he make of the season? What did he think was the biggest positive and negative development? And where does he and they go from here? This should be very interesting. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500. 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High is 75 today, but also a 75% chance of rain. We're also, later in the show, going to replay a segment from yesterday that was absolutely incrinculent. It was Bob Pompiani just trying to sort of throw out there very offhandedly, very off the cuff, that he had dinner with Tony Romo and company the Saturday night before the game. He's sitting across from a man called the Savvy Old News Hound. That's me. And a Savvy Young News Hound. That's him. And we immediately went back to that as Bob tried to talk football.
And Bob thought that we would not even inquire about it.
Right.
He thought it would just be a little footnote that would sneak through and nobody
right.
would have to even wonder.
Footnote is a great word. Did you still have to use footnotes on your college papers? City Limits? Do they still exist?
I think there was one paper I had to.
Yeah.
That was all.